This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Welcome in, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt, hanging with you for the next hour on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I thought you were about to ask me what the title of that song was and call it, like,
no.
I don't know, like, something.
No, Stairway to Heaven.
Like, stop.
No.
Stop.
Ah, music. Really brings everyone together.
Say,
except when I enter the room.
Do you know the title of that song? When you enter the room, everyone else leaves the room.
Do you know the title of that song?
I have no idea. I like the beat, though.
It's Rush. I know that. But I can't remember which Rush song it is.
It's Free Will by Rush.
Okay. That's what I thought it was. I, personally, not a huge Rush guy. All their songs kind of sound the same.
Stop with that.
They do.
Stop.
They do. Tom Sawyer, Free Will, Spirit of the Radio, all sound the same.
No.
I love Tom Sawyer. The best use of Tom Sawyer, though, was in Iron Claw. Did you ever watch that movie with Jeremy Allen White and
Zac Efron?
Yeah. it was the wrestling family.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
Great
though.
Montage song. Okay. Oh, so yeah. Good. Great movie. You will cry.
Okay.
Like, definitively, you will cry.
Maybe I'll have to watch it. But yeah, no.
Very good.
Sorry,
not
a Rush guy. Anyway, I don't know.
Opinions on Rush, yeah.
I don't know. Opinions. I don't like it. I don't know. It's just something about the synthesizer.
The synthesizer.
I don't even know if that's what it actually is, but it's just that sound. Some of the sounds are great. Like, like the guitars sound really cool sometimes, but I just can't. I don't know.
I get it.
I can't get into it.
I love how, like, you've been saying that. You just, like, keep looking down. You're like, I'm, like, a little embarrassed, but
well,
I'm not a Rush guy.
They're such a big band that I feel weird that I don't like them, but,
yeah.
Like, I just don't like them. I don't know.
I've been into Dire Straits recently.
Ooh.
Like, I've always liked them, but like now, like driving home, like I'll just throw that on. I'm like, yeah, this feels good because you'll have some songs.
Sultans of Swing is
Sultans of Swing is iconic. But like sometimes you'll have like Brothers in Arms, where you're like, this is like, I'm gonna extend this car ride. Like I gotta drive this out now.
Right. Like whenever Freebird comes on, you have to drive until it's done.
Yeah, it's one of those songs. Yeah,
yeah, right.
You have to, like, if you're pulling up to your house, you're like, nope, we're gonna do laps.
Yep, we're just gonna sit in the car and hang out.
Yep, but I've been kind of into Dire Straits a little bit recently. Just I'm liking the vibes.
You know something that's really popular around here right now?
Chapel Roan, as it should be.
Oh, well, no. Mr. Brightside.
Oh,
another
yeah.
electric performance of Mr. Brightside from the Bills team.
I found myself, so working the Bills games, I can hear how the stadium sounds even during the break, obviously, because Chris and Eric.
Right.
I can hear everything. And so Mr. Brightside goes on, and I can hear how loud the crowd is. I've come around to it. I like Mr. Brightside. It always felt like a weird song for like the team to kind of like grab onto, I guess.
Well, it's just one of those,
like, it's like Gloria with the St. Louis Blues
where
from
it's
a few
really
years ago,
random.
Where you're like, I love the bop. Like, this is great.
Or Renegade with the Steelers.
Yeah. Well, but Renegade I can get behind. But Renegade gives sports vibes.
Yeah.
Brightside, like, and Gloria does not give sports, but they work.
But
they
Mr.
Really
Brightside is those one of those party songs. Like, that's like a feel good song. When it comes on at a party, you're just, let's go. Like, it comes on at a wedding and everyone's out on the dance floor.
Everyone's bumping when Mr. Brightside comes out, which is weird.
I just love...
It's not a very happy song.
No, don't listen to the lyrics. Just listen to
listen to the lyrics.
Just listen to the vibe. But no, I mean, like, the vibes around that when the Bills start, you know, just whatever, performing, I guess, if you want to call it that.
I mean, Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox are clearly performing.
They are. They put on a performance.
They're in a concert of almost 80,000 people every Sunday. It's fantastic.
And they're the performers.
And they're the stars. it's all so much fun. And yet, hear that crowd. And this is right after the Allen touchdown. And man, it sounds so good.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where, like, I got goosebumps the whole thing. And that's, I think, too, my big thing, and maybe where I was like waxing and waning on, like, on the excitement level of this game, is I knew I wasn't going. Like, I was going to work the game, which is fine. I love what I do.
Yeah.
But then, like, hearing that crowd there, and I'm like, that would become a core memory. I know for a fact that would become a core memory.
I was at the Jaguars game earlier this year, and there was a nothing game.
Yep.
Didn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things, and the Bills blew them out. But when that came on and that started happening, I was like, this is incredible. Because that was the first time they did it. Like, really, the first time it, like, caught on. And I just have that, like, I was there, and it was like, that was a cool thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's you're right. It's like a core memory type of thing. And especially, and sure, it's happened since then, but the Chiefs game specifically, or if that happens in the playoffs, let's say, like, let's say, you know, Pittsburgh comes here and the Bills are beating them up and it's the third quarter and it's basically done. And then that starts playing. Everyone's, this is great.
It's apocalyptic again. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I had a similar feeling going to my first Longhorns game. They played Florida. They blew them out, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But to start the game hearing 100,000 people all chant "OU sucks," I was there. I was like, here we go. I'm ready to go. And so, yeah, like, that's one of those things too. When you're at that game, the vibes are there. I was out in the morning in Orchard Park getting breakfast with my girlfriend at the time of the morning. And just seeing, like, all of the Bills fans all dressed in their gear, a few Chiefs fans as well. But, like, you could tell the vibes were a little different. I was like, all right. I've come around to how important this is, even if, like, they don't get the one seed. Or this alone, being that the CBS crew is all there and everything like that. Like, you know, Jim Nantz talking about how it's Manning and Brady. And I think early on it has been better than Brady Manning.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is that we're
– it's closer.
It's closer.
Because Brady Manning was so one-sided in the very beginning.
Between the two of them, the difference has been Mahomes has gotten all the accolades, where for Brady Manning, it was the split. Brady got all the team awards. Manning got the MVPs
and the
regular season stats, where, you know, both of them are getting regular season stats here. Mahomes has gotten the MVPs already, and he's gotten the Super Bowls. Now we're starting to see if Allen, under this new era that they have, can maybe even the score. But in the regular season now, it's become pretty regular that the Bills will beat them in the regular season. And that's the thing, too. I wonder if you're a Chiefs fan. Let's say they meet again in January. We know how we feel if they beat them. Euphoric. If the Bills beat the Chiefs in the postseason, I know the Chiefs have two Super Bowls already. You're not going to take that away. And I get that that's going to last a little while. But I wonder if on their side of things, if it all of a sudden becomes, okay, like, we knew that was the team. That is now the team that is standing in our way of more. Is that now, because there's probably also a feeling, same like with, you know, Steve Young gets, you know, his Super Bowl over the Chargers, monkey off my back. There's probably going to be a feeling of, for Chiefs fans of, oh, they finally did it. Oh, no.
Right, and then the floodgates have open now, and it's going to be like this every year, or is it going to be this
They're coming back next year, most likely. Or I think they're definitively coming back next year, most likely in 26.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're all of a sudden, we're going to flip the tape, or we're going to flip the script, too, in terms of, like, for years it felt like they were never coming here. Now all of a sudden it'll be potentially a long time before we go back to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. Unless
the one seed goes to Kansas City and we do have to go back there.
Right.
But yeah.
Or unless it's a, you know, like the schedule dictates that the Bills go there or something.
Well, yeah, but for the next few years, it'll be they come here.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
That's going to be the thing. It might be a while. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, playoffs depending. Could be a while before the Bills have to go back to Arrowhead. But, yeah, I mean, them being 9-2 this year has made that a lot more exciting to talk about, not just the present but the future as well. Go back to your tweets here as we're talking expectations for the Bills, again, sitting at 9-2. Looking back at the summer, have they met your expectations? And if not, where do they need to improve? Of course, always taking your calls, 803-0550, the number to call. Steve tweets in, with all the new faces, they have exceeded my expectations. Every year is a different team, and we have a lot of new players and new coordinators. To be 9-2, learning who you are is great, and I feel like they're coming together when it really matters. I fully agree on that last point, especially, I think, because they're also getting healthier when it matters. It's great to be healthy in the first month or two of the season. It's also great to be like 4-0, 5-0, but it's better to be 9-2 and getting healthier and kind of figuring everything out down the stretch. Again, we've brought up even on the offense too, they've scored 30 points in what, their last five games, including against the Chiefs, a team that had been holding teams under 28 points for like 38 straight games. I mean, that was their calling card, was how good they were on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And you could argue the Bills, because of how bad they were on first down, if they were a little bit better on some of these first downs, maybe they're not punting in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a team that's putting up 34, 38 points on a Chiefs team. And I don't want to play the what if game, but let's say the miscommunication isn't missed on Allen to Knox.
Yeah,
and Knox keeps running and he hits him for stride. That's a first down. Do they score there? The Chiefs score on that interception,
right?
Or off that interception.
I'm
not saying it's a blowout.
I don't
but
think
it's maybe different.
I don't think it's like terrible to play that what if game in this scenario, because you look at the things that the Bills did, and it wasn't like these glaring errors. It was like these super minor things that had one or two things flipped. It's a blowout game. Whereas in some cases, you can say that you sit and you play the what if game, and it's like, oh, if all this different stuff happens, then they score one more touchdown.
Yep.
But it's literally just like one or two throws, the interception and Knox, and then running it on first down a couple too many times. Like that's all.
I think he short armed one to Samuel this week too. That I'm remembering.
I don't remember that one. I'm not sure. But oh wait, yes, I think because he was coming back to it.
Yeah.
He couldn't get there.
Mm-hmm.
But then it didn't matter because I think the next play,
potentially, yeah,
something else happened in their favor or something like that. But again, it's this one game that every year you circle it, regardless of how you feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it lived up to that for sure. But now it's, with what happened in this game, what's going to be in the playoffs if you do meet in the playoffs? Do you think it's going to be the same, or do you think with the Chiefs getting healthy and with the Bills getting healthy too? But
I think that's the key,
I wonder,
both of these teams are getting healthier.
Yeah, but I wonder how much does that actually change them? Because early in the season, before the Chiefs got hurt, they were playing the same style of play, and Mahomes was having problems.
I think there's a really good question. I think that's really interesting with the Chiefs specifically. Yes, they have Hopkins now. Hopkins is making good plays. They still have Worthy. But even when they had Rashee Rice, who was putting up number one kind of numbers, he was awesome. They were still struggling on offense. There's no explosive plays on the outside. Hollywood Brown probably changes that a little bit, right? I do not want to take away what his abilities were. He was a very good receiver for Baltimore. Not great, but very good. But he's also coming off a lower body injury. How good is he going to be right away? They also don't totally know they're going to get him back in the playoffs. There's a feeling they will.
It's a hope and a feeling, yeah.
It's not definitive. Like, the Bills know they're going to get Matt Milano back. His practice window is open. He's practicing. If not, he's going to IR. His season is done.
Yeah.
We don't know, though, if Hollywood Brown is coming back. And even if he does, I think that is a really interesting thought on, does it really ultimately change who they are? They have struggled for 2 years now on offense and being explosive. What helped them last year? Always great in situational plays, namely third downs, fourth downs. Travis Kelce reemerged. Travis Kelce inexplicably became Hall of Fame Travis Kelce again for like a 4-game span. We're already seeing it's not really happening. He had, what, 2 catches for 9 yards against the Bills?
To be fair, they did shut him down. They played very well. And the other thing I noticed, and it might have only been for a couple plays, but you remember last week how Belichick, that breakdown he had.
Talking about spies and stuff like that.
And stuff. Dorian Williams was in that role for a bit of the game. I only saw it a couple times, and I don't know how regular it was, but he was there, and I think that was a big part of it. Because Dorian Williams, we've seen so far in his short career here, He's got the athletic ability, but he doesn't fully have the IQ there yet of where to be and when to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But the athletic ability makes up for that. Now, it makes up for it only to a certain extent. But when you're in the role of being the quarterback spy like that, you can just kind of hang out and let your athletic ability take over. You don't have to kind of guess where to go.
Yeah.
When you're in coverage and everything, it's a lot different. But I think that was almost the perfect role to put him in for this game. And again, I don't remember how much he actually was in that role for points in the game. But I do remember seeing it specifically a few times on crucial plays. And one of them being, I think, when Cam Lewis almost had that interception, when it kind of goes through his fingers.
I wanted that so
Williams
bad for
was
him.
Williams was right there on the line moving towards Mahomes as somebody else is coming up on Mahomes' back. And it's that was the perfect recipe, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you saw night play after play in that game, why there was almost more than 2 interceptions, I think. I mean, that the two interceptions were very uncharacteristic from Patrick Mahomes, but if you look at what he's done this season so far, mm-hmm. that's kind of what he's been doing.
That actually has been very characteristically right. Patrick Mahomes.
For his whole career, it's mm-hmm. very uncharacteristic. But for that, for this season, it's, yep, that's what he's expected to do.
He has not looked right all year. I think a lot of it, too, their tackles are bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they, like...
Juwan Morris looked bad.
Everything you heard about them going into that game was correct.
Yeah. I mean, there was the sack that Von Miller had where Ed Oliver comes in over the top at the end. I mean, that's... I get one guy getting through to your... like, because this is a mm-hmm. team... Again, this is probably different for other teams, but this is a team where you never get to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Ever in the past few seasons. And now all of a sudden, you have not one, but two guys getting there. And that's happened. That happened multiple times on Sunday night. And that's, again, it doesn't sound that impressive, but for them, it sounds unheard of
mm-hmm.
because of how good they've been. And that's something where it's partially a big credit to Bill's defensive line stepping up because they've been a little shaky the past few weeks, but they got there. But it's also a detriment to, you know, hey, that Chiefs offensive line has suffered and it's starting to show.
It is not a good unit. Right now, it is
cohesive.
Not a good unit.
You look at them compared to the Bills, and it's the Bills. Sure, they have many more years on some of those guys, but it's you don't have that chemistry, and you can tell.
I mean, they just need to be better at both right and left tackle, which is mm-hmm. very, very hard to do. Especially you're drafting later on in the first round, so you're not going to get that elite tackle
that
maybe
where...
can change your offensive line in year one,
mm-hmm.
and you're kind of they're in a tough spot there. They're still. Fantastic. I don't really want to downplay them.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Have I been waiting for them to lose so I can criticize them? Absolutely. And I will never apologize for that.
But you also have to think back to, remember, we've had so many conversations about them identifying wide receiver talent in the draft.
Yeah, and how abysmal it is.
Right. And now we're starting to see maybe, hey, is it spreading to other positions? Is it a problem in the whole grand scheme of things?
Mm-hmm.
And sure, the jury's... still out. It's way too early.
And they do keep winning.
Right. They do keep winning, which is the important part. But it's not like they're not winning with players like how the Bills are. The Bills are getting guys like a Osiris Torrance, who, sure, he fell to you in the second round, but you still get him in the second round. Or more specifically, I'm blanking on his name.
I mean, they did do it with Creed Humphrey, though.
They did. You're right.
I mean,
Christian Benford. That's
Christian Benford. Yep.
I mean, there's guys like Christian Benford where it's
they've got guys as well. They've hit. I think it's just mm-hmm. it's been at certain positions, crucial positions,
right.
that have hurt them. And again, they got really. I don't want to downplay Super Bowl. They got very lucky though last year. Again, you get a Miami team that literally just physically can't play in the cold. They are just completely immune to it. You get a Buffalo team that was wounded to all hell on the defense, specifically a linebacker, a lot of your tight end, Hall of Fame tight end, to just completely go off. And then you play a Baltimore team that inexplicably decides, hey, you know how we're a running team? Scrap that. We're throwing the ball, and they never stopped. And then you play Brock Purdy in the Super Bowl. I don't know, man. Like, that kind of works. That helps. It also helps when you play Jimmy Garoppolo in a Super Bowl. I don't want to take anything away from him because I think that's ridiculous. Because if the Bills win a Super Bowl off, like, an easy run or anything, even if the Bills had beaten Jeff Hostetler in a Super Bowl, no one cares.
Right.
Like, you got the championship. But I think it is fair to bring up that, like, there are missing pieces there. They are not perfect. They have to play perfect, though, now to win games. Or they are not play perfect overall. They have to be perfect in situations to win games. I don't know how their 52% on third down is going to keep up. I just don't. Because they're not running the ball all that particularly well. Their tackles can give up a lot of pressure. So if it's not second and like two, they could have a real big problem. And I also think the Bills matched up really well with them. I think that was a big positive.
Sure.
The Bills could attack their man coverage really, really well with Amari Cooper, with Curtis Samuel, with Khalil Shakir, and you have Josh Allen as your quarterback.
I was about to say, yeah.
That
and
helps
you have
everything.
Allen's legs was a big, big key towards the end there. I mean, especially because of the fact that that touchdown was the last touchdown of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but I will tell you, I'm going to have a blast now watching them the rest of the way this season. If the Denver loss had happened the week prior, this would be so much more exciting. I think even coming into this week or that weekend, it would have been more exciting
mm-hmm.
because it would have been the feeling of you get them here, you're the one seed. And they've dropped two in a row. Are they floundering? Are they falling apart? What have you? Now they get to play Carolina. If they lose to them, that's one of the upsets of the year. I think it's already 11-point favorites for Kansas City. Vegas, they should probably beat them as well. So they're picking up two wins there. It doesn't get interesting until the Chargers for Sunday Night Football on December 8th. That should be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm going to be Chargers watching with intensity now.
The Chargers are anti-chargering. They're not blowing games anymore. They're not falling apart.
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh has been doing good work there so far.
Told you, man. It's what Harbaugh does. It's what he does.
He's the quick fix.
I'm surprised how quick it's been.
Yeah.
But even
he
watched...
fixed Quentin Johnston.
Yeah.
Kind of.
He's
regressed a little bit.
They're getting anything out of him, which is surprising.
Before it was next to nothing.
But I mean, you look at the Chargers though too. I'm not afraid of them yet this year. I think they are still a little bit far away because I think the Bills can handle Ladd McConkey and mm-hmm. Quentin Johnston, like this versions of them. Maybe in 2-3 years, no. But these versions, I think they can handle. I think Herbert as well also has some erratic moments where he goes from, you know, in the Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes territory to then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you're Daniel Jones, got it. Like it's too much back and forth with him. But Harbaugh is sort of he's stopping the pendulum so much. And they're finding their medium. They're running the ball a little bit more. Obviously, Greg Roman's their OC, but just their game against Cincinnati, I think maybe was both like the most Charger game ever, but then the most anti-Charger game ever because they ultimately were able to win that game. They ultimately finished the job, which is something the Chargers have not been able to do for a long time. Big reason why Herbert doesn't even have a playoff win yet is because they go to Jacksonville. They get up huge on them, picking off Trevor Lawrence, absolutely doing whatever they want. And then chargering happens, as the phrase goes.
Yeah.
And it felt like that game against Cincinnati, you could argue that was the end of it. They have an adult at head coach. And not just an adult, but one of the better head coaches in the sport, both college and NFL. Look at what Michigan is like without him and J.J. McCarthy.
Disaster.
They might make a bowl game.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. They're not even in the top 25.
Nope, they were undefeated last year. They were an undefeated national champion last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of dominated their whole way without even a ton of NFL quote-unquote guys. They have NFL guys now.
Yeah.
Namely on the defensive line, some of their cornerbacks as well look like NFL guys. But they have not met expectations. That could be due to head coach. I think absolutely it is with how good Harbaugh is and how good J.J. McCarthy was at quarterback. Now you're seeing what he's doing with the Chargers in like year one.
Not even the full way through year.
Yeah. I want to talk more on the AFC East here, and we'll do that in the next segment. But like, just looking down the road a little bit,
mm-hmm.
I like what Sean Payton has done with Bo Nix. Yeah. I really like what they have been able to put together early.
How long is it sustainable for Sean Payton though?
I think very sustainable.
Yeah,
I think you look at how long he was. Look, I think he can be arrogant. I think all of these head coaches kind of have to be. But I think if they're winning, I think that's very sustainable, especially now that he's figured it out with Bo Nix, and that seems to be really working, like that chemistry, that duo.
Yeah, they definitely do have stuff to work out still, but I wonder...
I would tell you how long does it work would be more appropriate for Harbaugh, because he does seem to burn too hot, and teams do get sick of him.
Yeah.
I mean, Michigan was kind of sick of him for a while, or their AD was kind of sick of him for a while. It was just they were winning, so it was tough to get rid of him. Mm-hmm. At least, I think that's how it was. It was either the current AD or former AD, but there were. I remember Paul Feinbaum, who covers college football for ESPN, always kind of talking about like, there's tension there.
Yeah,
and a lot of that probably also he was constantly courting NFL teams every offseason. Yeah.
Every offseason it was, are we going to need a new head coach? Because is he going to leave? Oh, he's
like,
not.
Oh no, he's Jim's back. Okay, cool.
Oh wait, no, he's. Oh no, he's okay. He's going to stay.
The Vikings said no. Oh, well, thanks for coming back. It's very, very weird.
It is a weird relationship.
But I think with Sean Payton, it can go for a little while. But I look at those, the Chargers and the Broncos, I think, I don't want to say it yet because I was pretty aggressive on it with Herbert and Russell Wilson getting there.
Mm-hmm.
I think we might finally be seeing the AFC West, though, catching up to Kansas City. Maybe not definitively to where they're going to maybe steal the division, but they're going to make them work for it harder.
That's fair, yeah.
Because for years, Kansas City has just kind of done whatever they want. The division is wrapped up by like week 12.
It's very much what's going on in the AFC East now.
Yeah.
But I was going to stop you because I didn't want... I don't think there's going to be any team that wins the AFC West in the next 3 years. I really don't. 3 years is like the limit, though.
I don't know.
3 years is the limit. It depends on what happens with the Chiefs and how they build the next couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. But looking at what is happening with the Broncos specifically, they will be a problem for the Chiefs in 2 to 3 years. They already kind of are. I mean, they didn't beat them 2 weeks ago, but came down to a block field.
They were there. They were right there. They should have won that game.
And again, it's not going to be they're rivaling them for the division, but the next couple years for the Broncos are crucial for getting that step, those 10 steps back from the Chiefs.
Yeah. I really like, especially where they're at with their rookie quarterback. I'm not going to call him young.
Yeah.
It's like 40. and where the Chargers are at with Harbaugh and Herbert. I think that's exciting.
Like you just brought up, though, if Harbaugh wears out his welcome fast, mm-hmm. that could cause issues, but that's yet to be seen. And the Raiders are hopeless, by the way. I just want to throw that out there.
Brock Bowers is cool. It's about it. Brock Bowers isn't just cool. He's
insane.
He's the best receiving tight end maybe in football, like already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, he's good. 803-0550, the number to call. Talking Bills expectations up to this point for the season. Have they met them, or do they have a little bit more to go? And what would you like to see them do better? Do, though, want to jump in on the AFCs? Because I think that has absolutely played a part in how the Bills have been able to get out to such a lead. We'll dive into that after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Josh Mint here until 12 o'clock on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Amazing night. It's not the Super Bowl, though, but, you know, we're going to celebrate this one for sure and, you know, take this momentum into the bye week and, you know, who knows after that, but we're going to celebrate this one tonight.
Now being legit, Money for Nothing, Dire Straits.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Also, this is a great montage song.
First ever, like, big time music video.
Really? I did not know that.
I think so.
I always thought it was... Oh, Radio Killed the Video Star or something like that?
It might be that too, but I think this one was like the first... I think, no, you know what it is? I think this might have been the first music video to play on MTV.
I mean, because you do hear in the opening lyrics, they say, I want my MTV.
Yeah, yeah.
It would all come together, yeah. they're doing it actually for the music video. Great guitar riff.
Oh,
it's so
nope.
good.
First music video on MTV was Radio Killed the Video Star. You're right.
Yes. Still got it.
Man, why don't...
Still got it. Not just historical facts up here.
But there's something about this, too, other than them mentioning MTV in the song. What is it? I'll have to look it up. I watched like a 15-minute YouTube video about it. Like, I distinctly remember watching a video about that. Because it's a great song, and it's the everything about it's really cool. It's a weird, like... The lyrics, again, are weird. It's like one of those songs where it's like... It's a great tune, but what are they talking about?
I'm just there for the guitar riff. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Right. But it's like, what are you talking about? Like,
I don't care.
Some of microwaves and everything. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway. I'm like that with a lot. There are certain songs, though. Like, I'm here for the lyrics.
Yeah, no. There's songs where it's like it's telling a story. Like
anything by Joni Mitchell.
Anniversary just passed. The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Such a
yeah.
good song. That is a banger of a song.
Yep. Oh, who's the artist? I know him.
Zach.
Canadian. I'm blanking on his name. Give me it.
Gordon Lightfoot.
Thank you.
Zach.
I was there. I just blanked on it completely. Yeah, I listen his lyrics, Joni Mitchell lyrics, Tracy Chapman, I'll get on the lyrics too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fleetwood Mac, because I find it entertaining that they're all breakup songs, every one of them, every single one of them.
Because the band was actively breaking up every time they wrote a song.
Oh, man, Fleetwood Mac, what a band. How have they not had a movie yet?
I thought they did. Recently.
They're
making one or something.
Are they making one finally?
I could have sworn they already had one.
We're getting too many like popular bands with movies that like just reinvigorate the sales. And like they're all okay.
Whoa.
But all the right, entire creation of the Rumors album should be a movie.
This continues into our trend of breaking news. Because 34 minutes ago, Apple announced that they're doing a Fleetwood Mac documentary.
Oh, it's a documentary, I mean.
Well, still, but how did we do that? Like, but it, Apple's doing it. Like, you know it's going to be super in-depth.
Is Apple TV?
Apple original films, yeah.
So it might be on Apple TV.
Still. Like,
they've got good shows.
The point still stands. We continue to break news. We continue to have things happen.
Yeah, that's a band, though, that needs one of those.
Oh, yeah. It needs like, a Bohemian Rhapsody movie. Like how?
But better.
But better, because that was not great.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
It was okay.
It was okay.
It was good, but I expected better. How about that? Yeah?
Yeah.
It failed to meet expectations.
Yeah. Also, rough Oscar year that year.
Mm-hmm.
Rami Malek winning the Oscar. I love Rami Malek in iRobot.
Yes.
I was going to say, because that's right, because it is both a TV show and a completely separate movie with the same title. But didn't love him as Freddie Mercury. With that being said, though,
I think it was because of his performance of doing 100%. Live Aid.
Oh, see, but I did. That was the one part of the movie I actually loved, where they just recreated most of Live Aid.
That's what I'm saying. That's what probably won the Oscar.
Yeah, probably.
Sorry.
But, oh, man, for like 6 months leading up to that movie, just listening to Queen music over and over and over again, a lot of fun. Let's go back to the phones here, talking Bill's expectations as we head into the bye week. Have they met them, or do they have still some work to do sitting at 9-2? Ken is on the line. Ken, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. I think it's a good question, and I'd answer it twofold. On the one hand, I would say, given general expectations that were held for this team following the defections of, you know, Stephon Diggs, not the least among them, the Micah Hydes of the world, the Jordan Poyers, et cetera, people certainly didn't think that this team would be within striking distance of the number one seed. So I would say, in that sense, again, we've exceeded expectations. Having said as much, as it relates to their own expectations, this team feels as though it has not even begun to scratch the surface. And given what Josh Allen had to say, given his being the voice of this team, the leadership brass of this team is what he represents, he was very clear about that we've done nothing. 9 wins doesn't get you into the playoffs. So I can appreciate their perspective. They aren't pleased or happy at all with what they've accomplished. Having said as much, what we saw this past week was very, very enlightening. What Josh demonstrated was not only that he's a MVP candidate, which is really superficial and on the surface and superfluous in a larger scheme of things, but he is indisputably one of the best players in the league and in sports, period. I mean, to take over a game like that and to make it that it wasn't a nail-biter, I felt like we could get a fast start, play well enough, and in the fourth quarter, because this is Josh Allen's team now, he's not competing with any personalities. When Stephon Diggs was traded, I said then it would be addition by subtraction. That's what it has come to be. And Josh is demonstrating that. This is his team. It's his voice prevailing in the locker room. Nobody's competing with him. There's no personality trying to come in to be leaders 1A, et cetera. And I think that's what's leading this team forward. Having said as much, Spagnuolo had a great scheme by pressing the run. And that, anytime we run ball, we're really under center, so we're very predictable. That put us in a lot of third and long situations. He continued to convert. And that was amazing. Then I was waiting to the defense to have a scheme when we spy on Mahomes like we did and to take away his running abilities in terms of his ability to move the chains with his legs. Those are real talents he has. We made him one-dimensional with that scheme. And it lasted even to the last play when we threw an interception. He was being spied on by Dorian Williams. And Bernard, who had spied on the first time in sacking, was now as that third safety in that Tampa 2 scheme. Great idea by Babbage. Something to look forward to. I'll pause for the cause and say thank you for the enlightening question that you posed, and I'll let you gentlemen chime in accordingly.
Ken, thanks for the call, man. Full on, 100% on. They've maybe met a lot of our expectations, but yeah, they've not met their own expectations. I think since 2020, the expectations openly, proudly have been Super Bowl. This year, even in a year in transition, they've seen the Chiefs be able to win in a year in transition. They've seen teams, in football history, oftentimes a run of a great team's Super Bowl year is actually not their best year. Just looking at a current quarterback here that's kind of fallen apart in the AFC, Aaron Rodgers. They won in 2010. The next year they went 15-1. Like that was arguably their better year, but they won the year prior. Why can't they do it now? And it wasn't even just Josh Allen that was saying it. I mean, Von Miller was saying it. Amari Cooper was saying it. Sean McDermott was saying it. They knew it was an important game and a fun game and one they wanted to win, but it was still just a regular season game. I'm blanking on who said it, but I think Peter Schrager maybe was saying it on Good Morning Football, but it was just that he had talked to somebody who was talking about how McDermott was mentioning that, you know, in 100 years, no one's going to remember a Week 11 game against Kansas City, even for how great it'll be. But they'll remember what you did in the playoffs and the Super Bowl if you get there. That's and to be fair, we all do that already for teams that are 5 years ago.
Right. I mean, look, think back to, you know, Bills in the year they lost to the Titans. Or not the Titans, the Jaguars, the Urban Meyer game. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you think back to that, and you remember that because it's the Urban Meyer game. But after that, it's like that was probably one of the best seasons ever.
And we're also Bills fans, so we zero in on it.
True.
There's probably
true.
A lot of if you just look neutral at, NFL fans ask, that don't even remember that.
That was 2021, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you ask any fan of the NFL what happened to the Bills in 2021, you'd say 13 seconds.
Yeah.
And they're not going to say, yeah, they lost to Urban Meyer in week 3, and it was 6-9. Like, sure, people. If you look at the season, obviously, oh, yeah, I remember that. That was Urban Meyer's first NFL win, and then he got fired, and, you know.
Yeah.
Everything like that. But it's interesting to, like, put different things in perspective of, like, when you're looking back at it, sure, at the time, it's like, oh, man, how are we going to come back from this? Or who's going to stop us? We're unbeatable. And then you look back at it in 2-3 years even, and it's – I barely remember that.
Yeah. And every NFL season, every sports season gets condensed.
Mm-hmm.
The longer we go from it, it gets condensed. You know, eventually, I mean, there are 60s, 70s seasons.
Yeah.
We only remember the Super Bowl champion, really. Right. We'll remember a few teams that maybe were just good enough but just missed. The Houston Oilers from the 70s, the Raiders for a lot of the 70s. But you really just remember the team that won and the Super Bowl itself.
Right.
And then, you know, obviously closer here, we'll remember full seasons like 2-3 years ago. But then, yeah, it also becomes like, why would I care about a Week 4 game in 2020?
Right.
I only do it because I'm a Bills fan and talking about Josh Allen's ascension. Like, that's what we'll talk about. But a neutral NFL fan will be like, why do I care that he put up 400 yards against the Miami Dolphins? And I'm going to sit there and go, well, that was his first time doing it.
It was a turning point. It was really, really cool.
All right.
But it's
show
also,
some respect.
I think that also is where you, when you're a fan of a team and you're looking at your team specifically, like, let's look at us with the Bills here. 4 years ago, or even like a couple of years ago now, we couldn't imagine just thinking the thought of, I remember having a debate with you of how do we not have the thought of let's just get to January. That was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And imagine, you know, 10 years ago when the drought is at, what would it have been at that point? It would have been almost over. No. It's like 10 years ago, it would have been like 13 years at that point. Ish, 13-ish years.
Around there, sure.
But regardless, you wouldn't have been like, sure, you're thinking of, yeah, how can we get to the playoffs? How can we break this drought? But it's so different, the mindset and how quickly it changes just by having regular season success. Because the Bills have won games in the playoffs, sure. It's not been, you know, you're getting in, you're getting bounced in the first round. But it's just the constant regular season success has skewed everyone's reality of this team and just how games go in the NFL so much in just 5 years that I think that's how a lot of people had that mindset last week of, well, it's just a regular season game. And sure, again, looking back on it, I did not like that I thought like that because at the end of the day, it was a very fun game.
It was a blast, yeah.
And it was good, and I enjoyed it. Looking at myself a week ago, what are you saying? Why are you not excited for this game? It, of course it matters. It's the Chiefs, right? And I think that's how things have changed for us as Bills fans because it's that feeling of, yep, well, they won the division for the fifth year in a row and let's just see what happens in January. Hopefully they can win for once, you know?
Right. Like, it's a really dark way to look at it. It's really sad.
But it's hard because it goes back to your point earlier of the
just
coasting through a season.
Yeah, but I feel like this happens to any team that is right there.
And you can't get over the hump.
And just haven't been able to bite and swallow the apple. They're there, but they're not.
Well, think of the teams too that were rivaling the Patriots in their run of their dynasty
Colts for years.
The Colts, yeah,
the Steelers,
even the 49ers, kind of.
Well, I mean, 49ers not being able definitely
to get
now
to the Super Bowl, but
the 49ers definitely right now. I mean, how many years have they had to go through? Well, Packers got one, so I wonder for a few years it was kind of we got to get another one. Aaron Rodgers, our quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, for the 49ers here, if you're a fan there, the 2000s have been painful.
Yeah.
You've been very good with multiple different teams, with different quarterbacks, with different coaches, and you've lost every Super Bowl you went into. I mean, that is a painful existence. And then you also have the argument, if you just had stayed healthy, you're probably going to 3-4 Super Bowls in just like a 6-year run because of how bad the NFC's been around you. And you've won none of them? Oh. I mean, that's also a very painful existence. And then, yeah, we mentioned those teams in the 70s as well. You know, Houston Oilers fans, I mean, now I don't know if they're Houston Texans fans or what have you. That must have been rough, of just always being second fiddle to Pittsburgh and then also years the Raiders. And starting going, like, we're good enough. We should win a Super Bowl. As Bills fans, we're sitting there, Josh Allen's our quarterback. We should be good enough. We should win a Super Bowl. And I think that does just eventually become the mindset of – well, it's not always correct that every year the goal is Super Bowl. I know teams say that. That is not always the goal. There are certain teams that are actually competing for a Super Bowl. There are other teams trying to develop. And if they happen to get to one, awesome. If they don't, cool. Next year, the year after. Carolina, if they said coming into this year and honestly meant it, the goal is a Super Bowl, that is a delusional organization. Their goal realistically was to develop. But I think the Bills, even in a year of transition, are at that point always because they have been so good. They missed it in this first run. Now they're trying to get it in the second run with Allen, and that's where they're going to be. And they're probably going to be there until Allen definitively starts showing signs of diminishing returns in terms of his play, which could be 10 years from now. We're going to find out. 803-0550, the number to call. Talking expectations. Also, Sabres game tomorrow night. We got Niagara basketball tonight. Always love to hear thoughts on all of that as well. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We've also been getting connected to our fans today, and that is, of course, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. No Sabres game tonight. They're not back in action again until tomorrow against the LA Kings. Yeah, I mean, that's Sabres after dark and then some.
I love it, but I can't stay up.
No. No, because for you, like, that game starts in like,
are you
I have
even
going to
make it to
hours.
Face-off?
I don't know. I want to try, but I don't think I should. It's not good for my sleep schedule.
Because used to work the morning show, like, I would be in bed. I'd already be asleep before puck drop.
There's a potential I'm asleep before pregame, unfortunately.
There's a good chance.
I just
10:30 against the Kings. No real word yet on if Tage Thompson or even Alex Tuch's going to play. Obviously, we'll get more word there as the day goes on. Mm-hmm. Out in the West Coast, time difference, but even 10:30 as well. We may not know.
I was
going to
say they are out on the West Coast already. So it's like, you know, it's a Sabres news is going to be a little later in the day than we're used to in terms of morning skate and stuff like that.
But then tonight we do have college basketball right here on WGR starting at 7:00. Niagara Purple Eagles taking on Bowling Green there on the road, and then over on our sister station, the Bet 1520, UB Men at Vermont.
Ooh.
That's at 7:00 again. That's going to be over on the Bet 1520.
Super
Vermont
quick.
Always in the NCAA tournament.
Super quick. Vermont's ice hockey arena. Have you ever seen it?
I have. Oh, yeah. Man. It is really, really nice.
They lean into the fact that they just live in pine trees.
And that's okay.
It's great.
And that's okay.
I'm all for it.
Love it. That's going to do it for me and Josh today. Coming up next, Sabres Live. And for tomorrow as well, do want to give this a preview. We'll have Aaron Quinn of Cover One on at 11 o'clock. So do look forward to that. Hope you can join us tomorrow. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt, you're listening to WGR.